And I'm so thankful that the audio worked on the video, because it worked out much better that way. Amen. A few little updates that I'd like to tell you about is that we were able to finish the walls on that second dorm building. They're now up and they're working on plastering those, so it's moving right along, and we're excited about the future of the things that we can do in Ecuador through a camp. A camp ministry will allow us to be able to not only host youth camps, which have been very successful for us, but family camps and kids camps, and eventually will be a training center. Around the jungle city near where the camp is, there are thousands of small villages. And as you saw the gentleman in the video, Fernando, giving you the testimony about Jimmy, he is the result of what God has been doing in Ecuador. When we went, we didn't know much Spanish. We'd gone to school. We began to seek God's will, and we had Bible studies, and that eventually led to our first church. And as the pastor said, we now have six in Ecuador. And one of those is now in the jungle. We would go to the jungle, travel to the villages, do a gospel presentation with songs and puppets and things to attract all ages, and then end with a gospel presentation. And we would see hundreds of people saved each summer. Very exciting time, but then you would leave with a heaviness in your heart that who's going to come back to these people, and where are they going to go? So God called out a couple from our church, surrendered, left his good job, good paying job, to go down to the jungle and start the church there. And this month there will be their ninth anniversary of the Iglesia Biblica Bautista de Tena that you saw in the video. And as a result of having a center, a church in the jungle, we're still reaching out to the villages, and we begin to see the Lord working and hundreds of people saved, but then they need more. So God called out Fernando and his wife Rachel, who have now been a little over a year down in working with the Tena Church, but their main focus is going into the jungle and discipling people and seeing what God would have to do. Sheree and I have spent more than 27 years in the mountains, and now we're going to spend a lot more time in the jungle. Tremendous change. We're at 9,000 feet in the mountains, hardly any bugs at all. You get down to the jungle, and that's another story. There's a lot more bugs than people, and so it's a great adjustment. But we believe God is calling out people like Jimmy and others from the different communities that would normally in that society just be, you're saved, and that's all you need to do, just be happy. But we'll be able to train them for the ministry, send them out to their own villages, and perhaps others will leave the country as missionaries, if we had one couple from our church has already done. So continue to pray for Ecuador, and we appreciate all that you've done. And I'm trying to catch you up on 15 years worth of what's happened in just a few minutes, but I want to guarantee you we'll be leaving on time. Amen? Because I can see the worry on your faces. Turn to John chapter number 6. We won't keep you long this evening. It was exciting to be in the prayer meeting and hear the testimonies of how God is blessing your church and continue to do the work that God has set before you. In John chapter number 6, we have that very, very familiar story of the feeding of the 5,000. We know that was 5,000 men plus women and children. But sometimes we read these stories and they're so familiar to us that we forget what's going on. And there's a tremendous amount of truth in this story that we can apply, and we'll do some of that. But for time's sake, we won't go back. But if you're in this evening, if you go back to Matthew chapter 14, it'll give the setting of what's going on. John the Baptist has just been killed, and we know that he had a special place in his heart as far as Jesus was concerned. His disciples had been there. He had been killed. They had buried John the Baptist. They had just arrived to tell Jesus the news of the loss of his friend. We know that Jesus already knew that, but they had shared that news. Jesus was grieving. He decided to take some time off in order to recuperate. He had been very busy physically and spiritually and emotionally drained from all the activities, and so he wanted to take some time apart. But the Bible tells us that when he saw that great multitude, something changed. And let's look in chapter number 6 of John. And we know the story, but I'd like to look at verse number 11, and we'll give you a few points this evening. You know the story. The disciples are there. They've been there all day. Everybody's hungry. What's the disciples' reaction? Let's send them home. There's not enough money to feed these people. We need to send them home. We know the little boy had the five loaves and the two fishes, But this is the focus of the message this evening that I think will help us not only be better servants here in our own community, but be better servants of the Lord as far as being involved in worldwide missions. Amen? Verse number 11 says, "And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as he would." I believe the most important characteristic quality of a Christian needs to be gratitude. Because when we take our eyes off of what God wants us to see, it's easy for us to be focused on our life and what's going on and our troubles. Jesus had a reason to grieve. One of his great friends had just been beheaded. He had lost the one that had come to announce his coming. He just needed some time to be alone. But when Jesus saw that multitude, something happened. And it says in the middle of this, in the middle of all that activity, in the middle of all that grief, it says that he gave thanks. When we are grateful, all those things that seem to distract us will be moved to the side, and it will enable us to see what God wants us to see. There could have been 50,000 people there, but if Jesus would only been focused on the grief of losing a good friend, then nothing would have ever happened. But we know that he had lost his friend. He said there was no one born of a woman like John the Baptist. He was emotionally and physically worn out, but it said when he saw the multitude, he saw the need. I want to tell you, so much of our life is spent and focused on ourselves, isn't it? But if we would just take the time to be thankful. You know, the Lord, He chooses different ways to work on us. When I see the video, I'm very thankful of all the things that God has allowed us to do in the time that we've been in Ecuador. But sometimes when I'm not seeing the video, I say, "Lord, we got a lot to do. We need to speed this process up a little bit." But He needs to slow us down in order to focus on what's very important, what the need is. So gratitude will take any hurt or distraction that we have in our life, and it will move it to the side, and it will put what's important right in front of our face. And that's what we need this evening. Are you with me? I have 6 points, and we will be out on time. Amen? Some of them don't believe the missionary is telling the truth. So I am a missionary kid, and my wife is a pastor's kid, so we've been in church, and we've heard a lot of preachers lie when it comes to the time they're going to finish their message. So, but this won't do another thing. When Jesus was in the same situation, but the account in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 11, when he saw that great multitude, he was moved with compassion. Gratitude not only helps us focus on what God wants us to see, but it also changes our perspective and it fills our heart with compassion. It makes us love people that we would not normally love. We're going through a difficult time in this world. There's a lot of hate. There's a lot of prejudice. In Ecuador, in the past registered, we've had more than 2,000 Venezuelans come down from Venezuela through Colombia into Ecuador, refugees coming into the country that are registered. 2,000 a day. That means there's probably twice that many coming in not registered. They're coming in, and the Ecuadorians are already suffering from an economic crisis, but the Venezuelans who have nothing are coming in and doing their jobs for half the pay. And it's causing a lot of prejudice. We were downtown shortly before we came, driving our van in downtown Quito. It's about 3 million people, busy city, a lot of people begging in the streets. And a Venezuelan man came up carrying his young son in his arms, asking for money. I rolled down the window of the van and I gave him a dollar coin. And he said, "Thank you and God bless you." But I looked over and the Ecuadorian driving the car next to me had a look of disgust. Said, "How can you be helping that man who has come to our country to steal the jobs?" But I want to tell you, when we are thankful for everything that God has done for us, we'll see that person standing in the street that needs help. We will be moved with compassion. We'll want to do something different. We'll want to be involved. The disciples were worried about the crowd. They were worried about the hour. They were worried about the money. One little boy had a small lunch. What difference will that make? But when we are filled with gratitude, the Lord allows us to love people that are not so lovely. And what a difference that will make. Pastor Fernando went to Jimmy's house in the village, and Jimmy was about to die. rare disease that he had, and I can't remember the name, but it attacked the body. He basically paralyzed, losing his sight and losing his hearing, and the witch doctor was unsuccessful. And when Fernando was approached to come and pray, he said, "What in the world am I going to do?" But he went and evidently prayed with great conviction and love for Jimmy, was one of his students, and God lifted him up. And now Jimmy's in the village teaching the same class that Fernando was teaching. He leaves his house at 5 in the morning to be able to arrive to the main church in Tena every Sunday service. If we're not looking in the right place, if our heart isn't filled with gratitude, there will be no seeing of what needs to be done, and there definitely will be no compassion. But something else is produced when we have a grateful heart. The Lord said, "How much money do we have?" Well, they didn't have very much. They were Baptists. Amen? And they probably didn't tell Jesus how much they really had, but anyway, that's another story. Jesus looks around. He knows how much money they have. He understands the situation. He's looking at the bread and the fishes, and what does he say? He says, "Have them sit down in groups of 50. Gratitude produces a plan. It's not enough to see the need. It's not enough to be moved with compassion, but we've got to have a plan to reach the needs of the people of this world. We have to know what plan is going to be successful. What does God want us to do in our lives? And it only happens if you're grateful. An ungrateful Christian, is that the alarm that we need to quit? No? Y'all need to relax, amen? I'll be gone and won't be back for another 15 years, and many of you will not be here to receive me, amen? But gratitude helps us see what needs to be done. Gratitude will fill our hearts with compassion, and gratitude produces a plan. Man, we've got to do something different. We cannot keep thinking that we can reach the world the same way we did before. There's so much hate, so much division, even in our own country here. We've got to say, "God, I love those people. Show me the plan, your plan, which is the only one that will work." Another thing about gratitude is that it produces an abundance. Gratitude produces an abundance. You know, it says in that the Lord will provide our daily bread. Well, in Ecuador, we have a sandwich that when I first heard about it, I didn't think it was possible to like, but it's on a homemade roll, about this big around. And you take that, you open it up, you take an avocado, you peel it, you slice it up, you put it on that bread, and then you sprinkle a little salt on the avocado. And then they have a little hot sauce called the Mean Indian, and you put that on that top of the avocado, put the other part on, eat it, and it's a wonderful sandwich. And I always tell the people of our churches, you know, when it says that God supplies the daily bread, He supplies the bread, the avocado, the salt, and the hot sauce. He always gives us an abundance. Anytime you're with the Lord, anytime you're involved in doing what He wants you to do, He's made that promise that He's going to provide everything we need, but He loves us so much, He provides us with an abundance. Another point is that gratitude produces belief. It said that, verse number 14 of chapter 6, and it says, "Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, 'This is a truth. This is of a truth that the prophet that should come into the world.'" Jesus put aside the hurt, put aside that need to rest and be apart. He saw the need. He was moved with compassion. He produced a plan, and look at what happened. 12 baskets were left over to show the disciples, "Look, you need to realize who you're with." But then the final result and the main result is that many believed when they saw what Jesus did. You know, there's a lot of hurt in this world. But in spite of all the difficulties of our life, we need to tell the Lord, "Thank you. Thank you for all that you've given to me, the good and the bad. Thank you for this life that you've given me to be a servant in your army. Show me your plan. Fill me with compassion. And Lord, let me see the harvest. Let me be involved. Let me see more people coming to know you as their Savior." It's just your attitude Oh, Lord, I've served a long time. Sheree and I in September will be missionaries for 30 years. We're almost getting to the point where we know what we're doing. But I want to tell you, there's sometimes it gets difficult. Now we have grandchildren. We love our children, but nothing like grandchildren. Amen? Sometimes it's difficult to be away and say, Lord, we've suffered much. But the Lord just kind of points. He's nice to my wife because she doesn't get like that. But he'll grab my ear and shake me a little bit and say, look, you need to realize all that's taken place because you've been faithful. And remember to be thankful, because gratitude is what's going to change this world for Christ. Let's bow our heads. Have a word of prayer. Lord, it's been a long time since I had the opportunity to be in this church. I'm excited for all that we see that's going on. But Lord, I know that these people are probably just like I am, and sometimes we get the feeling like life's a little too tough and we don't deserve the things that are coming in into our life, and we need a little rest and we need to just step aside. But I want to tell you, Lord, that I'm thankful for all that you've allowed us to do through you. Thank you for the love you have for the people of around the world, but specifically the people of Ecuador. And Lord, we thank you for the plan that you've laid out before us. But Lord, fill our heart with compassion. Fill us with that desire to see people come to Christ. And Lord, help us to be thankful in all that we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.